Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front payment equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3 month plan only. Taxes and fees extra. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes in detail.
The Yeti store has so many great gifts, we had to hire a cattle auctioneer to make the most of these next 30 seconds.
All right, folks, let's get started with the Yeti French Press. Enjoy coffee this day's hot for hours in French Press. 34-ounce for you, 6'4 for the crews, the Yeti French Press. Hot next waterproof bags, bags waterproof, submersible waterproof doubles, waterproof bags. For us mostly water, so get a waterproof Yeti bag. Do I smell something cooking? All new cast iron skillets made to be passed down like mama's recipes. Take your steak, cornbread, cobbler's pot pie, and potatoes next level with three sizes of Yeti cast iron skillets.
Gear, gifts, and product experts. Visit the Yeti store at Santana Road today.
On Tuesday, Donald Trump announced that he was going to create a new office when he assumed the presidency in January, the Department of Government Efficiency. He said the department would be led by former presidential candidate and former pharma exec Vivek Ramaswamy and Elon Musk. You know, this guy.
As you can see, I'm not just MAGA, I'm dark MAGA.
And this wasn't a big surprise. Not long after Musk hitched his wagon to Trump, Trump started talking about giving the dark MAGA man influence. And when he won, he specifically praised Elon Musk.
But he's a character, he's a special guy, he's a super genius. We have to protect our geniuses. We don't have that many of them. We
have to protect the new Department of Government Efficiency, or, and it pains me to say this, DOGE? You know, like the cryptocurrency making fun of Bitcoin, is being billed as a tool for dismantling government bureaucracy, getting rid of regulations, and basically cutting everything that Trump, Musk, and Ramaswamy deem to be an excess. And if you have questions about whether Musk's role as the owner of the largest social media platform, X, will be in conflict with DOGE, you aren't the only one. Trump is calling Musk's role advisory, so it doesn't require Senate approval and somehow lets him keep X. But not all X users are on board with an app that's become increasingly politicized and has a CEO in Trump's inner circle. As Elon's advisory role hit the headlines, anecdotes started popping up of people's follower counts going down, 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 as users abandoned the platform for competitors like Blue Sky or Threads. So far, this is all anecdata. That's because X won't say how many people are leaving. But Blue Sky says it's added 1 million users since Election Day, doubling its user base and rocketing it to the number one spot in the App Store's US charts. Slate business writer Nitish Pawa says, make no mistake, the exodus from X is real.
Yeah, totally. The last time I posted to X, Twitter, whatever it will be called in the future, was sometime late last week when I shared a piece I wrote about why this is the exact moment that everyone should actually be leaving X, Twitter. They played such a huge part in trying to get Trump elected. They basically fused X at one point as like all but a campaign arm for Trump's candidacy. So after that, I realized, and with, you know, Trump going back to the White House and all but, you know, taking Elon with him in some capacity, I realized, like, okay, this is going to the White House. This is just going to be like fully their government backed propaganda outlet now.
Today on the show, why some people are signing off of X for good. I'm Shayna Roth, filling in for Lizzie O'Leary, and you're listening to What Next TBD, a show about technology, power, and how the future will be determined. Stick around. This podcast is brought to you by Progressive. You chose to hit play on this podcast today. Smart choice. Progressive loves to help people make smart choices. That's why they offer a tool called Auto Quote Explorer that allows you to compare your Progressive car insurance quote with rates from other companies. So you save time on the research and can enjoy savings when you choose the best rate for you. Give it a try after this episode at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
After a night with drinks, it's tough to bounce back the next day. But with ZBiotics, there's a surefire way to wake up feeling fresh after a night of drinking. ZBiotics Pre-Alcohol Probiotic Drink is the world's first genetically engineered probiotic. It was invented by PhD scientists to tackle rough mornings after drinking. Here's how it works. When you drink, alcohol gets converted into a toxic byproduct in the gut. It's this byproduct, not dehydration, that's to blame for your rough next day. Pre-alcohol produces an enzyme to break this byproduct down. Just remember to make ZBiotics your first drink of the night, drink responsibly, and you'll feel your best tomorrow. Also, ZBiotics is continuing to invent probiotics that will help with everyday challenges of modern living. Go to ZBiotics.com/TBD to learn more and get 15% off your first order when you use TBD at checkout. ZBiotics is backed with 100% money-back guarantee, so if you're unsatisfied for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked. Remember to head to ZBiotics.com/TBD and use the code TBD at checkout for 15% off.
Why didn't a lot of people leave X when Musk took over back in 2022? There were server issues. A bunch of people got fired. The customer service was terrible. There were a lot of bugs to the platform. He started this whole thing where you had to pay to get verified. What made people stay on Twitter after that initial part?
Yeah, I think there were a couple things. One, there was like an immediate lack of viable alternatives. And when those alternatives did start popping up, you know, like Blue Sky and such, they didn't have quite like the centrality that X had, I think. You know, Twitter had a, you know, what a lot of folks call the first mover advantage. It was first in the space. It had been like that for at least a decade. And they were able to use that to kind of come in with a lot of pre-built momentum. Like, look, already all your favorite, you know, public agencies, all your favorite notifications, all your friends, all everything is like still on here and has been on here for a while. I'm sure there are a lot of people also like sad about like losing the connections they'd made on there. I know I certainly was, or like, you know, probably scared that they would like lose their follower accounts and so on. So those were some of the driving reasons. And also, I mean, like there are a lot of people who I think in a style not dissimilar to what you saw when Trump first took office, when you'd have a bunch of like rabble rousers in his reply saying like, Mr. Trump, you're fired, sir. They would do the same thing with Elon, right? Because he's like very easy to dunk on despite his like insane power. So I think all of that kind of kept things in the moment. And I think what especially was a big driver of this was like a lot of politicians were still on there, right? Like the White House was still posting on X. So was Joe Biden himself, you know? So to get those news, to get those updates, X was still the spot. And now that the government itself is going to be run by quite a few trolls, I'm not, and I think other people aren't exactly sure what the actual utility of that platform will be anymore.
Right after Musk's takeover in 2022, he dissolved the trust and safety teams that moderated content like misinformation and hate speech. Shortly after, a digital civil rights group released a report that showed a 500% increase in the use of the N-word across Twitter, as well as an increase in other derogatory comments against marginalized communities. Plus, there was an uptick in troll accounts. Nitish says all that still didn't keep certain micro communities like Black Twitter and NBA Twitter from using the platform. But eventually, even that changed.
What I think also helped make the final decision for folks, especially recently, was that Twitter was nowhere near as vital as it once was. You know, at one time, it was like the place for so many like celebrities, for so many, what they call power users, for even just events like, you know, everyone's collectively watching a basketball game or everyone's collectively watching an episode of Scandal. But a lot of users just started drifting away from Twitter, especially, I would say, after the 2016 election. And, you know, with just more attrition year after year, event after event, administration after administration, like, this, I think, was the final straw for a lot of folks. And you could already see, like, follower counts plunging again, and replies being filled with people who, like, maybe have five followers but paid for their blue checks and just want to, like, yell at you. Who wants to be around that?
Right. And I think what's really telling is that on the day of the election, when Donald Trump was declared the winner, Elon Musk went on X and tweeted out, "You are the media now." And there's just so much room for misinformation.
Yeah, 100%. I remember, I think sometime earlier this year, the New York Times did a really good accounting of the types of accounts that benefited most from Musk's algorithm, from, like, paying for Twitter Blue, from everything else he changed about the platform. And I mean, it was all just, like, high-profile disinformation mongers and, like, supplicants, right? Like, they're posting a video from, like, Syria in 2015 and saying that this is what Gaza looks like now, say, or putting forth, you know, these mocked up charts that are like, oh my God, Biden is importing all these illegal immigrants to become Democratic voters. Like, those were the people who were really gaining the most traction on there. And that was at the expense of, like, pretty much any actual authoritative sources. I mean, I still remember, for me, like, the moment when I realized things were really cooked, as it were. One time, Turkey was trending, and I was, I was curious. I clicked about it, what's going on in Turkey? And it was just a bunch of speculation that the president, Erdogan, had been assassinated, even though that was definitely not the case. I immediately, went to, news outlets like BBC or, others to, like, check. Had there been any reporting on this? No. But there were just countless posts. There's nothing useful here. This is all just a place for people to lie to each other and have them believe it.
When we come back, a word of warning for those that choose to stay on X. This episode is brought to you by Glean. AI has the potential to help everyone be more efficient at work, but only if it deeply understands the data, people, processes, and context specific to your work. That's exactly what Glean's Work AI platform does. Glean has proven to be a helpful tool for businesses looking to improve knowledge access and boost productivity. Glean's powerful AI assistant helps you find answers, generate content, and automate work. With Glean's search and work hub capabilities, employees can find everything they need to know. Glean has solutions for all types of teams, from customer support and engineering to sales and HR. Visit glean.com/TBD to see how Glean can help every employee at your company do their best work with AI. That's glean.com/TBD to request a demo today. Glean, work AI for all.
Have you heard about Doublenomics? It's okay if you haven't. It's extremely niche and practiced by Discover. Here's an example. Discover automatically doubles the cash back earned on your credit card at the end of your first year with Cashback Match. That means with Discover, you could turn $150 cash back to $300. It pays to Discover. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
So what's it like to buy your first cryptocurrency on Kraken? Well, let's say I'm at a food truck I've never tried before. Am I going to go all in on the loaded taco? No, sir. I'm keeping it simple, starting small. That's trading on Kraken. Pick from over 190 assets and start with the 10 bucks in your pocket. Easy. Go to kraken.com and see what crypto can be. Not investment advice. Crypto trading involves risk of loss. Cryptocurrency services are provided to U.S. and U.S. territory customers by Payward Interactive Inc., PWI, DBA Kraken. View PWI's disclosures at kraken.com/legal/disclosures.
I want to talk about, for the people that are left on X and for the platform in general, what the future means for them. So Recently, the terms of agreement changed with X that now allows all content on the platform to be used to train AI models.
Mm-hmm.
What are the implications for the people that are still using X at this point?
Yeah, I mean, pretty much every big tech platform has taken this path, right? Like Meta saying it will like dig into your photos for facial recognition. Google is, you know, maybe scraping like your docs and such for more training data. So the X AI venture, literally called XAI from Elon, his thing is this bot called Grok, which already like is very expensive to try to access, like much more, I think, than like even, you know, premium ChatGPT or other such services. And it's tailored to fit with, you know, Musk's view of the world and his like sense of humor. But of course, all of that is pretty wretched, as it were. I guess that's the right word. It's a lot of really like schoolboy jokes. It's a lot of, you know, swallowing up of like the misinformation. You'll type in a question about like who won the election this year and it'll spit out something at you that completely does not make sense. I mean, AI hallucinations are there, but they're even worse on XAI, I think, than other bots. And for the people who remain on Twitter, I mean, it's their choice if, you know, they want to allow their tweets to be used to, you know, train this stuff. I mean, you know, your tweets are not really yours. Ultimately, they do belong to Mr. Musk, unfortunately. But again, like, it also matters the quality of the machine and the people behind it. And like, I would say that, you know, if you're on there to be like a better source for AI training, I don't think it's going to work.
Yeah. Also, I feel like there's just a lot of news about X or things that might impact X recently. Donald Trump announced that Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy will be leading the so-called Department of Government Efficiency, or DOGE.
Yeah.
What does that mean for X? I mean, is it going to be a benefit for X having, you know, its owner be so close with President Donald Trump, or is it a distraction? How does this all square up?
Yeah, it's a good question. I don't think any of us know for sure yet, but one thing I can tell you is, one, the Doge thing. I mean, obviously, that's a reference to the meme coin, Dogecoin, whose price pretty much fluctuates just depending on really whatever Elon is doing or whenever he like mentions it. And I mean, just the fact that he's going to name a planned government commission after Doge is like going to like shoot up the price of the coin, and it's going to make a lot of crypto folks very happy. And, you know, there was one time when he, as a prank, like replaced the Twitter logo with the Doge logo. And of course, that, again, shot up the price, made a lot of crypto folks very happy. You know, he loves doing this little like footsie game with these meme coin holders. But what his government position actually means for Twitter, I think, is very interesting, because right now his whole thing with Vivek is going to be they want to like cut down on what they view as like government waste, inefficient bureaucracy, et cetera, et cetera. But X itself, I mean, is in so much debt. Just to finance the purchase, $44 billion, he had to rely upon a bunch of banks from international sources and domestic to take up like $13 billion of that debt. And I mean, Elon is obviously a very wealthy man, some might say the wealthiest, but his net worth is also tied up in somewhat tenuous sources of income, you could say. Like, a lot of it is tied to Tesla stock, which of course has been like going to the moon with Elon now having all this governmental power officially. But if he wanted to sell off a bunch of Tesla shares to make use of that value, I mean, the stock would itself drop. And I mean, he could probably try and ask like someone in Trump's cabinet to see if they can do something with government money to try to bail him out, perhaps, or cancel the debt. But I mean, that would also fly right in the face of his whole crushing government debt independence crusade.
Yeah. And I mean, not only is it people that are leaving, it's news agencies. The Guardian announced that it's no longer posting on the platform, though users can share their articles. I know that at least for a time, a lot of people got their news from Twitter as far as what different news outlets were posting, which articles they read. Do you think that news agencies leaving X is going to have a profound impact, or is it already too far gone for it to matter?
I think it depends on a few things. One, it's really going to matter, you know, whether other places also make the leap, right? Like NPR left X pretty early on, especially as, like, you know, Elon was, you know, labeling it like a state agency, even though it's not that. But there weren't like a lot of other places that took that on. Like, you know, a lot of other places, including Slate, you know, we established accounts on other places, but we weren't necessarily using those as like our primary marker. So I think it'll depend, again, on whether news outlets now decide to make the most of those other accounts on other platforms and ditch the Twitter ones altogether. I don't think it's going to be very advantageous for news outlets to stay on there. Like, traffic referrals from Twitter were never super high, but they're already way down from what they ever used to be. There's going to be fewer people of the persuasion who actually read, you know, text-based news and read like the New York Times and the Guardian and so on. And at the end of the day, you're also just like lending your legitimacy to someone who's Elon, who's probably going to just like find a headline of yours, call it like fake news, and have all his stans like crowd into your mentions.
Yeah.
I personally just don't see how that's worth it.
So, Tish, you've made a really strong case for leaving X completely, but you said that you have a burner account. Does that still count as leaving?
That's a good question. I mean, all I'm going to say is it's there for reporting purposes. I have one for Truth Social as well. I don't post on Truth Social. I don't interact with people on Truth Social. None of that. I literally just peruse it in case, you know, Trump goes off on another rant or something else decently newsworthy happens on there. And that's how I suspect I'm going to be primarily using my burner account going forward. It's already set up. I'm barely following anybody on there. I'm just kind of letting the feed do its thing and seeing, you know, how useful that will be as a gauge for where the conversations are happening going forward. But yeah, it'll just be there because already one thing Musk did do, which is I will hand it to him, kind of smart for getting people to stay on the platform, was making it so you can't really see a lot of stuff on X if you're not logged in. So at the very least, I can make sure like I have a log on, even though it's not an account with, you know, like my old one with any sort of like public image or any sort of presence.
But if you want to like completely like be gone from this app, how difficult is it to delete your account completely and get your data off?
I know you can request to download all your data and, you know, get that done at some point. So, you know, I would recommend if people want to like save their tweets, photos, etc., that they do that. But I think the hardest thing, again, is like saying goodbye to like the people, the relationships you made on there, the accounts that you loved the most. I think it's kind of representative of a different version of the web, right? Like one where these social media outlets still brought us like a lot of like discovery, community, and joy.
Yeah.
And I think just that memory of it is hard to break out of. What I would say is if you're like a non-reporter wanting to leave and like not even keep like a burner or anything on, what I would say is a lot of people have already left and there are so many other places where they've congregated and that you can explore again. I think you can also view this as an opportunity to like build and, you know, communities again, find your people again, you know, explore other platforms that you know, you may not have otherwise checked out. The thing is, the era of the internet and frankly of like the entire political realm that gave Twitter its rise, like that's just not there anymore. Like there never will be a Twitter again. And that sucks. It's kind of like hard to swallow for people like me who always loved the place. But, you know, when you come to terms with that, it's also easier to see like, well, there's another vision of the web out there. There are a lot of really great people working to make that happen and who are not like egomaniacs trying to force themselves into your screen or like, you know, send all this AI slop your way. And I think it would behoove us all to support those efforts.
Tish, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Nitish Pawa is an associate writer for business and tech at Slate, and that is it for our show today. What Next TBD is produced by Evan Campbell, Patrick Fort, and Alyssa Jong Perry. Our show is edited by Paige Osborne. Alicia Montgomery is vice president of audio for Slate. TBD is part of the larger What Next family. And hey, you know what? Now more than ever, we would love your support to keep doing thoughtful, independent journalism. And one of the best things that you can do to help us is join Slate Plus. Head on over to slate.com/whatnextplus to sign up. We'll be back next week with more episodes. I'm Shayna Roth, filling in for Lizzie O'Leary. You can catch me on Instagram and Blue Sky. Thanks for listening.
Curious about investing in crypto? Start with Grayscale. They have over a decade of experience managing crypto investment products, many of which are available right in your investment account. Search for a Grayscale product ticker today. Investing involves risk, including loss of principal. For more information and important disclosures, visit grayscale.com.
Save on holiday favorites at Safeway. This week at Safeway, get a free Signature Farms whole frozen turkey, grade A, with a minimum purchase of $150 or more in a single transaction. Member price, limit one offer per household. Plus, get 12 ounces of Oscar Mayer bacon for $3.97 each with digital coupon. Limit four. Also this week at Safeway, Lucerne milk, half gallons, selected varieties are $2.47 each with digital coupon. Limit two. Visit Safeway.com or head in store for more deals.